RKES at SWCYMCA.org. Otherwise, you can always call my direct line at NACUSA, 715-886-8657.
And again, the website for the South Oak County YMCA, SWCYMCA.org. Be sure to bookmark that page. Appreciate all of you, what you guys do for the community, putting up with me. Thanks a lot for the time, you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, James. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And a big thank you to Tri-City Services, of course, sponsoring the segment. Big shout out to our friends over there. We'll have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR. Wisconsin Rapids.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The death toll now tops 5,000 from yesterday's powerful 7.8 earthquake along the Turkish-Syrian border. Search teams and emergency aid are pouring in from around the world as rescuers dig through the rubble in freezing cold weather, hoping to find survivors. Correspondent Cammy McCormick.
In the Syrian city of Aleppo...
It's now a race... against time.
World Health Organization Chief Tedros Ghebreyesus says many areas may still be inaccessible.
We're especially concerned about areas where we do not yet have information.
Damage mapping is being conducted to understand where the focus should be. Search teams are arriving from around the world.
Turkey's president has declared a three-month state of emergency. President Biden says he hopes to have a conversation with the American people during tonight's State of the Union address. Our new CBS News poll finds he might be disappointed if they could respond. Deputy Director of Surveys Jennifer DePinto.
When we asked people to describe the state of the country, they picked the word divided most of all. 62% of Americans said that, and many also said declining and weak. Far fewer, just about 1 in 10, said strong or prospering when describing the country.
The U.S. trade deficit widened in December by 10.5% to its widest gap on record. The Commerce Department says dependence on imports grew as demand for consumer goods and cars picked up. BP Oil is reporting record profits of more than $27 billion for 2022. That's double the year before. Alice Harrison with the nonprofit group Global Witness accuses the industry of profiting from tragedy.
There is the war in the Ukraine, which is a war that's being waged with oil and gas money. And of course, there's the climate crisis. And at the center of all of those crises are a handful of oil and gas companies that last year got even richer.
The judge says prosecutors at Alex Murdoch's murder trial can use important evidence of financial crimes against the disgraced lawyer. Correspondent Nikki Batiste is in Walterboro, South Carolina.
2 weeks after this trial began, the judge's ruling marks a potential breakthrough for the prosecution. They say Alex Murdoch was stealing money from his law firm and clients and claim he killed his wife and son to gain sympathy before his alleged fraud came to light.
Health experts are worried the craze over prescription drugs that help you slim down are keeping them out of the hands of diabetics and the severely obese. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder says the side effects of Ozempic and Wegovy can be hard to take.
Nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. Some people really can't tolerate these drugs because the nausea is so bad. You know, it depends. Some people can tolerate them, some people can't.
The Dow's down 107 points. This is CBS News.
You know, it's
hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, February 8th. In Wood County, the McMillan Memorial Library Personnel Committee will meet at 4 p.m., followed by the Buildings and Grounds Committee at 4:30, and the Library Finance Committee at 5 p.m. The City of Wisconsin Rapids Police and Fire Commission public meeting will take place at 7:30 a.m. The Wastewater Treatment Commission meeting will be held at 1:30 p.m. The Waterworks and Lighting Commission regular meeting will be at 2 p.m. In Portage County, the Housing Authority Board of Commissioners will meet at 4 p.m. at the Housing Authority office. In Adams County, the Public Safety and Judiciary Committee meeting has been canceled. The Traffic Safety meeting will take place from 2 to 3:30 p.m. The Public Works meeting will run from 5 to 6 p.m., and the Landfill Advisory Committee meeting will run from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at Strong's Prairie Town Hall. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 35. Westerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 19. Tonight, partly cloudy. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Tomorrow, highs level off around 41. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news, talk, radio. Streaming 24-7 at WAUK Radio.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Everything is on demand now. But there's something about that appointment watching of HBO that's still there.
It's also called the art of the tease, and that's how they get you.
I'm trying to think, what's my tease for tomorrow?
Kristen sets herself on fire. Tune in at 11:20, and then we'll tell you why.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! This is Kristen Bry, and I am not setting myself on fire today.
Not today.
Sorry to disappoint for anyone who thought that's what was going to happen, because we led you on at the end of yesterday's show. But in fact, I am here... flameless.
Yes, you are flameless. I can concur.
And so, happy Tuesday. It is State of the Union Tuesday, February 7th. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. We are here to have a great show. And in the newsy top of the hour, we are going to talk about State of the Union in the second half of this hour, talking about kind of predictions of what's going to be talked about tonight, what our bingo card says, a reminder of one of the best jokes ever about Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who will be giving the rebuttal tonight.
It's a classic.
And some interesting facts that maybe you know, maybe you don't know about the State of the Union, which it was not always called that. It was, I think, first fact, if I remember off the top of my head from what I read this morning, it was only started to be called the State of the Union with FDR.
Really?
Prior to that, I think it was called the President's Address or something like that. But we're going to do that. At the end of the hour, we're going to wrap up another hit to conservative media in Wisconsin. Right as progressives are learning how to grow liberal media.
Oh, gosh, that sounds dangerous.
What am I talking about? You'll have to stick around for the end of the hour when we're going to talk about that. But to kick off... This is the beauty of live radio. Sometimes you change it up of what you're going to talk about. We had plans to discuss, continue the conversation around the caregiver shortage and how we're going to take care of our elderly and our aging population, because there's a lot of them. And we're going to hold off on that conversation and probably do it on Friday, in conjunction with Mark Sommerhauser, who's from Wisconsin Policy Forum, who just penned or reported a new study that basically shows that in Wisconsin, the trends for older people look good as far as people are living longer, with the advancements and the you know, medical treatments that are available. But people my age... The age group, 20s, 30s, 40s, are actually going the opposite direction because of homicides and...
opioids.
Opioids. But the only, we're going to talk about that on Friday, but also I think tying into the conversation around what's happening in Green Bay with Medicaid and long-term care. But instead, today, in urban Milwaukee, Bruce Murphy, in his column, Murphy's Law, has a very interesting question, which I'm kind of surprised no one else has picked up on yet.
It's interesting.
And it just simply reads, this dropped at literally 30 minutes ago. Is Judge Doro hiding her biography? Judge Doro, Judge Jennifer Doro, one of the four candidates for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which that primary is 2 weeks from today. So a quick reminder that you can, if you want to still get your absentee ballot, you can still request it. Just do that immediately so that you can get it and send it back with enough time. Otherwise, plan to vote on February 21st. There are four candidates. So it is, you know, vital to put your, get your voice heard, that the candidate you like the most makes it through to the general, which is April 4th. And if you're hearing this for the first time, basically there are two conservative candidates and there's two liberal candidates, and Judge Jennifer Doro being one of the two conservative candidates. And the other one being Dan Kelly, who is a former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, who was appointed by Scott Walker and then lost his re-election to Jill Karofsky in 2020. And I think up until the Waukesha Parade trial of Daryl Brooks, which Judge Jennifer Doro kind of got a lot of credit and recognition for how she handled that.
Right.
I think the de facto assumption was that Dan Kelly would be the conservative candidate. And then with her kind of quick rise in name recognition, I don't know enough about the behind the scene politics of Republicans and conservatives in this state, but clearly she was encouraged to run. And the thinking being that banking off of her name recognition, right?
Sure.
And that a lot of people in tough on crime, in the face of rising crime, which I don't want to spend a lot of time on, but just recognize that a Milwaukee police officer was killed last night, and our condolences and concern, and that
to all the people who serve.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yes. And the tightrope of talking about what I'm sure we'll talk about in the next in the State of the Union segment, because I know policing and gun control and all of that will be a topic tonight, because I know Tyre Nichols' family is going to be there. So there's this tightrope that we walk around, accountability for police, that the police need to be held to, but also the inherent danger of their job. But that's a bit of a tangent. Going back to, you know, the appeal, I'm sure that Judge Doro kind of came with was coming off of her recognition for this trial. But with that comes this article. And it starts like this. There's something missing from the Waukesha County Circuit Court website listing information about its judges. Click on the names of most judges and you get a biography of them. But click on Judge Jennifer Doro and you get nothing. Only that she began as a judge in 2012. There is no LinkedIn profile for Doro, and her campaign website bio tells us only that she has had a 26-year legal career and has, quote, prosecuted, defended, and judged a wide array of cases and issues. So again, I'm reading from Murphy's Law, written by Bruce Murphy on Urban Milwaukee, and the title is Judge Doro Hiding Her Biography? And so basically, if you try to find more information about her legal career,
her experience,
as of right now, there's a lot that you can't. It's a lot of vague. She's been working. She has a 26-year legal career.
She's prosecuted. She's defended.
Yes. And, you know, I think one of the pieces that we've talked about before was when she applied to be a circuit court judge, because she was appointed by Scott Walker. you know, she listed the worst U.S. Supreme Court decision of the last 30 years.
Most egregious, I think it was.
Was that the word?
That might have been close.
You know, out of all the ones she could have picked Lawrence versus Texas, which was the law that said you can't make it illegal to have same-sex sex. That was that's in her opinion, the worst decision. But that was, you know, so there was tidbits that we knew about her. But turns out she worked as a DA, a defense attorney for the Waukesha District Attorney from 2000-2004. And after 8 years in office, she took a job for a higher salary at a private law firm run by Matthew Huppertz, where she worked for nearly 6 years before becoming a partner. And then she worked 2 more years as a partner. And so she worked as cases as a prosecutor. But then she worked as a defense attorney.
For this private law firm.
For this private law firm. And as we've talked about, and we're going to have Jessa Nicholson back on, who's a criminal defense attorney. When you are a defense attorney, you are obligated to do the best you can for your client.
That's your job.
That is your job. It's to defend them to the best of your ability. And what it sounds like from this article is that she did that. And she got lower sentences. And she took plea deals. And she did what a defense attorney is supposed to do. But now, because of politics, they are trying to wipe this from her record, which is interesting.
It is.
And it's unfortunate because it doesn't make her bad at her job. If anything, it's in her ability to get lower sentences or get people off or make a case for people who were criminals, who committed crimes. That's her doing her job at that point. But because of the environment we're in now, of this huge talking point of tough on crime, and, you know, a large reason why she was plucked and convinced or, you know,
encouraged.
Encouraged. Thank you. That was the word I was looking for. To run because of the Waukesha Parade trial.
Tough on crime. She's tough on crime.
And so it's interesting that the people running her campaign have tried to wipe that part of her history from, not clear, because obviously you can still find it, but you gotta, it's not easily accessible.
Right. You got to look for it. You have to research for it.
And so I guess my question is, you know, as someone who, in full transparency, I'm not going to vote for her. But if you are someone who is still debating who you're going to vote for 2 weeks from now, if you are someone who is deciding between a Dan Kelly or a Jennifer Doro, does her lack of transparency about her past make a difference? We're going to keep talking about this when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hey Badger fans, heard about the Varsity Collective yet? The Varsity Collective was created by Wisconsin alumni with 3 goals. First, to help Badger student athletes maximize their name, image, and likeness opportunities in college and beyond. Second, to support Badger student athletes in the classroom and life through our mentorship program. And third, to facilitate charitable partnerships throughout the Badger community. The best part, you can be part of it. Learn how to support our Badger student athletes at thevarsitycollective.com. That's thevarsitycollective.com.
I lived alone and was having problems with my landlord. He's a creep. One night I'm watching TV and I hear my landlord letting himself in.
Hey, get out. You can't keep coming in.
I'm just here to fix your fridge and spend some time together.
Get out. I'm reporting you.
Don't make a federal case of it.
A federal case? Sexual harassment in housing is against federal law. If you are harassed, file a complaint with HUD. Go to hud.gov/fairhousing. If you fear for your safety, call 911. Fair Housing. The law is on your side. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, we're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. So the police should be reaching out to this community. And this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Here's the news, coming to you every hour on the hour.
Here's the news.
The weather's fine, but there may be a meteor shower.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. You're listening to the Civic Media Network. We are talking about whether or not Judge Jennifer Doro, candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, which that primary is 2 weeks from today, is hiding her bio. And whether or not it matters. Do you think this makes a difference for people who may or may not be considering a voting between the two conservative candidates? And why? Give us a call. We would love to hear from you before we, because I, 844-967-2789, that's 844-96-PARTY, because I'm trying to think if this was flipped for me, because as I said, I'm not voting for her.
Right.
But in trying to approach this in an objective way, if one of the two, if either Everett Mitchell or Janet Protasiewicz, there was not a lot in their background, would this change my vote? Because this kind of goes back to the conversation we had with Jim Santel last week as far as our ability as average voters to be able to have enough information to cast a confident vote for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Because it's such a different position than most of the other local government, state government positions that we elect, as far as how people can campaign and promises of the policies that they care about and the things and the action that they will take where their value system and their background becomes, you can put A to B a little bit easier versus a judge where you can look at their background as far as their legal experience, their experience either as a prosecutor, as a defense attorney, as a public defender, as a private corporate lawyer, all the different types of law one can practice, and then their experience and how they judged cases. But that's a lot of research, right? And if you're hiding your bio, and there's already so little sometimes to choose from when we are making a vote like this, isn't that kind of a big deal?
We have a text from the 262. Again, we're talking about Judge Jennifer Doro, an article in today's Urban Milwaukee by Bruce Murphy, which kind of says her experience and past as a defense attorney is kind of being glossed over. So we want to know, does that matter? Is a lack of transparency important? Texter from the 262 says, does Jennifer Doyle's lack of transparency matter? You bet it does. We don't need another George Santos fiasco. I don't know that those are exactly the same things that we're talking about. That might be a bit of a stretch.
But I appreciate the joke. What was the joke you heard this morning about George Santos sitting at the State of the Union?
It's perfect that George Santos will be at the State of the Union address. He'll be the first person to have defrauded a charity to be there since President Trump was in office.
This is a tangent, but the other recent... This isn't even a joke so much as, because he's now stepped away from being on any committees.
George Santos.
So it's like, oh, so you just want a six-figure salary to do no work now.
Essentially. A good gig if you can get it.
This guy, man. So,
just imagine, though, Kristen, if, say, Judge Mitchell and his campaign was trying to cloud over his experience as a defense attorney and the cases that he pleaded for his client to get a lower sentence, which is what a good defense attorney does, no matter how reprehensible you might find your client and what your client did. Imagine the outcry.
I totally agree. And I think I almost find myself defending her in the fact that this is your job.
Yeah.
And it's okay that is your job. And it goes back to our assumption that, you know, or the way that sometimes political consultants or these campaign managers think voters are dumb. And that they can't handle this part of her past and it's going to be spun around and to make her soft on crime, when if she was not making plea deals or not asking for lower sentences, she literally would not be doing her job.
She'd be a terrible defense attorney.
And I just think it's fascinating that, again, this talking point, this issue of crime and being soft on crime is so dominant in so many of our elections, because reminder that the Wisconsin Supreme Court does not do trials for criminals.
They don't do criminal cases.
They don't do criminal cases. It's case law, and it is making decisions on whether or not something is following a case is following the law, not whether or not someone should be sentenced to the maximum for their crime. And so the fact that there's just this assumption that this is so prevalent in voters' minds, for even the voters who will vote in this, because remember, it's always very low turnout when it comes to spring elections.
Which is disappointing.
Which is disappointing, and a reminder to go vote. That this is also disappointing, that this is the ploy that they're using to hide her background and her bio, because they assume that their electorate who would vote for her will be convinced that she's soft on crime because she was doing her job as a defense attorney.
It goes against their narrative, and it's inconvenient. Now they're going to have to stand up for defense attorneys, which that'll be a first.
I know. All right. Well, when we come back, a little primer for the State of the Union coming tonight, and you can you can listen to the State of the Union live across the Civic Media Network starting tonight at 8 p.m. But when we come back, some fun facts, some predictions, and a joke at Sarah Huckabee Sanders' expense. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages,
start your day laughing with mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for mornings on WFHR. We're a serious comedy to start your day.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Hi, I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. The warmer temperatures are causing snowmobile trail closures in the area. The Wood County Parks and Forestry Department announced that all snowmobile trails in Wood County are closed effective immediately, except the trails maintained by the Bakerville Snow Rovers. Those remain open at this time. Other trails in the county will reopen if we receive sufficient snowfall. Wisconsin renters may benefit from federal government initiatives to preserve affordable housing this year. Changes may include a rent cap on some tax credit-funded properties and more leniency for some tenants behind on rent. The National Apartment Association is disappointed by the new policies. They believe complex housing policy is a state and local issue and the government shouldn't get involved. Civil rights legal committees and housing councils are praising the move to ensure all Americans have safe, decent, and affordable housing. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 35. Westerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 19. Tonight, partly cloudy. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Tomorrow, highs level off around 41. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
Second State of the Union. It is time for him to make the case for himself and his agenda to the American people. And this year, it's a little different than it was last year. Obviously, last year, it wasn't divided government the way that it is now.
Right.
And, you know, this is basically, coming on the heels of him officially announcing his 2024 reelection bid. And so, to kind of set the stage for, or the backdrop for what we're going to see tonight, you know, there are plenty of GOP investigations happening. Like I said, we have divided government and both chambers are narrowly controlled by either party. We are in the face of tensions over the federal budget, specifically the debt ceiling. We apparently have classified documents like party favors all over the country.
I think it's like a parting gift. You just take them when you leave.
You know, we got a Chinese balloon fiasco, and it comes as apparently in a new poll, only 23% of Americans are satisfied with how things are going in our country. Though that is up 6% from a year ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, not the most cordial environment, but, you know, what is he, if you had to guess, Jane, what do you think he's going to, the big topics are going to be?
Well, he's going to talk, first of all, I think about infrastructure and that is finally getting underway and shovels are getting in the ground. So I think that will be something he's going to promote, and he's certainly going to tout his economic policies. Last week, didn't we just find out that we added 500,000 jobs?
Yeah, that's why he's coming here tomorrow.
Right.
To talk about
bringing back manufacturing jobs and stuff like that.
Well, and that's what's wild. We need to get an economist on here to explain this to us, because the mixed messages, it feels like we're getting...
The sky is falling. No, it's all good.
And of course, he's going to spin as much as he can to say that the economy is moving in the right direction, which includes, you know, the lowest unemployment rate in decades and more jobs and potentially downplaying, you know, record high inflation and recession concerns and how many tech. I just heard Dell's going to lay off a bunch of people, too. So, you know, the continuing layoffs in tech, although also the creation of jobs. And so it'll be interesting to see how he frames that, because I don't even know if the media is doing a good job explaining or framing it as far as what is actually going on with the economy. So what do you think would be a good person? There's some people at UW-Madison or Marquette or some kind of hoity-toity economist to come be like, what is happening?
All right. Is the sky falling or not?
Yes. Should we?
Just say yes or no.
Will radio still be a thing a year from now? Will we still have jobs? Okay, great. Thank you. Like I said previously, I'm sure gun control and
opioids,
police reform will all be talking points. Tyree Nichols' parents are going to be there. I'm trying to think. What else? Foreign affairs, I would imagine. I mean, especially considering...
Well, China,
for sure, with the, you know, everything that was happening with the balloon. And I think they just claimed that the balloon over Latin America is theirs as well. And so there's that. But, you know, if you think about a year ago, his State of the Union last year was just days after Russia invaded Ukraine.
Gosh, that's right.
And this year, it's happening just days after he's announced that another $2.2 billion in new aid for Ukraine. And, you know, more and more Americans are saying that we're spending too much, and where is this going, and why are we doing this? So I'm sure there will be an explanation of why it's so important to continue to support Ukraine. Because think about that. I think about a year ago where the overwhelming rhetoric, I think, for most people, as they, you know, people on their Twitter accounts were changing their profile names to have the Ukrainian flag in mm-hmm. there, and the amount of money that was rolling in and everything. And like so much of the public support was to help and support Ukraine. And I think it's much more divided a year later.
Oh, I agree with you.
But yeah, then there's also China and Taiwan. And so trying to think of how much he'll talk about that. And it'll be interesting to see how much he talks about the bipartisan achievements, because there has been some.
There have.
As far as the infrastructure bill, as you just said, the Safer Communities Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, which we are going to talk about later today as far as what that means for you, because it is in effect. And how much that ties into what he says they're going to be able to do when it comes to the debt ceiling. And so, I don't know. Do you how many? This is a sillier question. How many gaffes do you think there's going to be?
I'll say four. It's a long speech.
It is a long speech. I think it's 60. I think I saw predictions because I'm sure that they. It's just like the state of the state that we were talking about, that people that they release at least a draft of the speech to media outlets. And I think I saw 6,400 words.
Wow.
Which is a long speech.
That is a long speech for anybody.
For anybody, let alone, what is he now? 79?
77? We'll check.
I think he's 70, because they were talking about how the fact that by the time he would be done with his second term.
He is 80.
He is 80. So, yeah. So, by the time he would be done with his second term, he'd be 86.
Right.
I don't want to be an ageist, but that is really old.
We need term limits. Chuck Grassley is 900 years old. The senator from Iowa. Strom Thurmond was as old as Methuselah. I mean, it was ridiculous. He would sleep. You'd see him sleeping in the chambers. I don't want to be ageist either. I'm old. But I can admit that there are things for which I would not consider myself at my age.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, it seems like, as far as I can tell, all like full steam ahead, he's running again. And no one else is going to run against him, despite what could be a very, end up could be a very crowded Republican primary.
Yeah.
But I spoke about this once with my friend who has worked on a lot of different Democratic campaigns, both in Wisconsin at the state level, but also on Obama's campaign twice, and, you know, is much more in the circle and in the loop of Democratic campaign politics. And he just said, he was like, listen, you always want the incumbent, no matter what. He said, I'll take an 82-year-old Biden as an incumbent than someone who's not in there. And I don't know if it's just because of name recognition.
It's that much harder.
It's that much harder. And as far as like just like politics 101 is being an incumbent gives you a leg up. And so, but then the rebuttal is going to come from newly inaugurated Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Of Arkansas.
And obviously she became prevalent in all of our minds when she was the press secretary. And when she was the press secretary, she got to go to, I think that was the last one of.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. The correspondence
dinner when Michelle Wolf was the host. And it was funny because Hasan Minhaj had been the host the year before, and he had in his, as a comedian, someone who has a lot of political commentary, social commentary, is very funny, but has a very good heart and a good message that he tries to end on, and like a feel-good message. And he did, because he is the son of immigrants, and he ended on, even though this was Trump's inaugural, like, first year, he ended on a note of, like, in America, someone like me can host something like this, and isn't that wonderful? Versus Michelle Wolf, who just burned the house down.
Yeah, she burned them all down.
And then for the next 2 years, there was no correspondence dinner. So let's just, as an homage to that night and Sarah Huckabee Sanders being on the main stage tonight again, let's just play that joke.
We are graced with Sarah's presence tonight. I have to say, I'm a little starstruck. I love you as Aunt Lydia in The Handmaid's Tale. Mike Pence, if you haven't seen it, you would love it. I actually really like Sarah. I think she's very resourceful. Like, she burns facts, and then she uses that ash to create a perfect smoky eye. Like, maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's lies. It's probably lies.
Don't forget, though, there's always been a lot of controversy over that event and whether or not journalists should be mixing with politicians that they are expected to report upon.
Well, and that's a totally, that's probably a subject that we could do, I mean, maybe not a whole episode on, but a whole hour on. Because I think of that, just as a side note, because right now, I say, I'm not a journalist, but I editorialize the news, and we talk about the news, and why, and this is going to go into the next segment, as far as while we have opinions, I do try to hold myself accountable for being fair, being open-minded, and I have a lot of friends who are politicians. And so it's interesting that you bring that up of like, as you work for, you know, where do you draw the line and how much of are we held responsible on our own to say what we're comfortable with? But I, you know, I also have friends who are journalists, and they're that line between walking the balance between having your relationships, not only just with politicians, but their staffers and those, and the people who give you information as you're trying to write stories. And so, and you obviously sometimes you don't like those people, but sometimes you really grow fond of these people who are in the trenches, maybe on in a different way than you are. So that's interesting that you bring it up. So maybe we'll try to get a panel of people, of other media professionals who, at least on the state level, I'm immediately thinking of how Jesse Opoyan would talk about this.
Me too. Again, I just want, how chummy should you be? How chummy should you be? And I think that was the criticism about this event.
I always thought the criticism was is just the, how the comedians just roast everybody.
That's their job. Isn't it?
Well,
equal opportunity offenders.
Equal opportunity offenders. And so, I don't know, I'm assuming you're, would you, if it wasn't part of our job to talk about it tomorrow, would you watch tonight just for yourself personally?
Yes.
I would too.
Yes. And there is an article in the Washington Post that makes an argument for why we should get rid of the State of the Union address.
Oh, I haven't read that yet. What does that say?
Basically that, yeah, it's the third most watched thing in America with tens of millions of people, but there's 330 million people in this country, so it's really not that much. And with the dissemination that we have now of news, you don't really need to watch it in real time. You're going to see clips all over the place. You're going to see, you know, what the big highlights are. And this article from Philip Bump also says, you know, this would avoid the grandstanding by some of our politicians, like Nancy Pelosi ripping up Trump's speech in 2020. The guy who called President Obama a liar in the middle of it. But I think it's important for those reasons to show those people and to show how they behave. That's why I think we need it.
So you're on the side that we need it.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it provides entertainment. That's also entertaining.
That was a surprise.
Interesting. What do you think? If you should we still have the State of the Union? Does it provide a insight or not? 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
We may be thousands of miles apart, but we can still connect. And when we do, we make things better. At Child Fund, we connect children all around the world with what they need to grow up healthy, educated, and safe. Together, we co-create connections that help millions of children who live in poverty worldwide, and their families, and their communities, and you. Join us. Together, we can make the world a better place. Two small worlds at a time. Visit childfund.org to learn more.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry across the Civic Media Network. We are rounding out our first hour, our newsy hour.
Hey, I just want to throw one thing in.
Yeah.
That was The Clash, and I played that for one of our fans, one of our listeners, and who had requested it because it's National Clash Day. But I just want to throw out there, if you ever have a song you want to hear in the bumper music or something you haven't heard in a long time, please, please let us know. I will happily track it down for you.
We are a very accessible show.
Yeah.
As far as the DMs and emails and text line. And I will list all of those off right now as a reminder. If you want to email us, asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. If you want to, the same number, whether you want to call us or you want to text us, is 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Otherwise, across all of the social medias, you can find us at As Goes Wisconsin on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
And get the Civic Media
app. Facebook. And get the Civic Media app. And follow Civic Media on everything. Follow all of the things. Support us. Because I found this yesterday. Because apparently, Wisconsin conservative media has taken another hit.
Oh, dear.
And this came from Wisconsin Right Now, which is an independent conservative news site that is Wisconsin News. And they tweeted out yesterday, Wisconsin conservative media has taken another hit. The owner of Empower Wisconsin has just shut down the website. This at a time when progressives have figured out how to grow liberal media in Wisconsin.
Dun, dun, dun!
To my point saying, because I follow Wisconsin Right Now. I followed and subscribed to Empower Wisconsin because I try to get a range of information. And in following them, I was under the impression that they thought liberal media was already thriving because the mainstream media is liberal media, is it not?
All media that they don't like is liberal media.
Isn't that why they created themselves as an alternative to the liberal mainstream media?
Definitely.
So then who's figuring out how to grow liberal media if it was already the mainstream? I'm so confused. But I will say it's interesting that, I mean, truly, because Empower Wisconsin, I would say, you know, across the different, they were a digital media company. They wrote their own articles. They had a newsletter. They had a Facebook page that had like 12,000 followers. And I subscribe to the newsletter. And I checked yesterday to see if there was any kind of, you know, thank you.
Update.
We've had a great run. This is why we can't go forward. But I checked everything. And they just turned it off. If you go to the website, it gives you like a 404 error message of this site does not exist. All of their social media is still up, but like the last tweet or post was February 1st. And so I don't know if anyone's going to dig a little bit deeper of why they have shut it off. But apparently, Wisconsin right now is a little concerned.
Look out.
And I don't know. I don't know if they're referring to us when they say progressives have figured out a way to grow liberal media. I don't know who they're referencing when they throw that out as a threat.
Well, and again, I think you make an excellent point, because pretty much all media that they don't like is liberal. And that's just the way of the world.
Because I think Wisconsin right now, we talked about this because it was after, it was when Dan Bice had broken the article about Judge Jennifer Doro's son potentially being involved in the overdose of a UWM student, and how she had a confrontation with the dad, and Bice was the one who wrote that article. And Bice was also the one who wrote the article about Everett Mitchell and
right.
the accusation that his ex-wife had made 10 years ago. And so Dan Bice doesn't pick sides. Like, he writes the juicy story no matter what side you play for. And yet, of course, Wisconsin Right Now's reaction to Bice's article about Doro, not Mitchell, was how it was a hit piece.
Smear job.
He's like the part of the like Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that is so liberal and blah, blah, blah.
Muckraker.
And because I would just say I think it's interesting as far as this tweet being an admission that they know that the Journal Sentinel and other established, reputable journalism in our state is that. It's journalism. It is not a liberal slant. This show has a liberal slant because we are an opinion show. Like a lot of the shows that we have on this station and a lot of the shows on WISN are an opinion show that lean right. And so the importance of continuing to be able to identify what is straight news that is objective and what is opinion is very important. And I love that they basically, I'm waiting to see if they're going to respond to me, because I did retweet that and say, wait, I thought the mainstream media was liberal media, but they have not responded to
me. There you go, poking the bear, Kristen Bry.
I don't do that very often. We've already established that I was very confused when I said something not so nice about Skip Bayless, and I got the error message, the message, the warning from Twitter saying,
oh, yeah.
Are you sure you want to tweet this? I was like, is this new? And then I got a lot of responses from people who said, no, this has been around for a while. You're just too nice.
It will be interesting to see if they respond. I would think it depends upon how their narrative is going to go. If it's useful for them to attack you, they will.
Well, it's also interesting as a media outlet that they tweeted that at all. Like, instead of reporting it as news of empower, you know, the objective way to rewrite that tweet is the owner of Empower Wisconsin has just shut down the website.
That says it all.
Right?
Yep.
And that's something that they are making the choice to report on, but they're choosing to add the color of Wisconsin conservative media has taken another hit.
Yeah.
And at this dire time of progressives figuring out how to grow liberal media. And so, you know.
That seems to have a slant.
Seems to have a slant.
Just a scooch.
So, all right. Well, we're wrapping up this hour. But when we come back, Representative Jody Emerson from the 91st District up in Eau Claire is going to join us to talk about maybe we can get the safe harbor bill passed the fourth time. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute. There will be trouble. And if I stay, it will be double. So you gotta let me know. Should I cool it or should I blow? Should I stay or should I go now?
Let's face it. Life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters.
like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE.